1 Corinthians chapter number 6. A lot moving around this morning. Our Sunday school is disrupted for sure. A lot of people are outside setting up for today for our parade, all right? So if you're not accustomed to that, this is what's going to happen today. 1 Corinthians chapter number, I almost thought to cancel Sunday school, but y'all are here, so I'm not doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll finish with this one this morning. Lesson 8. What's so specific about gender role? Try to finish early. So give us some time to do some preparation. Just pray for those that are outside preparing for the float. It's going to be fun, all right? Pray for Pastor Cole as he makes his way here. He should be able to get in back this way because they'll close the roads here at 11:30. You can't go out this road at 11:30. So pray for those that are going to try to make it to church. And for those that decided not to and just watch us online, I can understand that, but we'll miss you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Just a review. I'm just going to review the last main point that we did to keep us moving, and we got one last point. So the second numeral point on this lesson is the fight for God-given identity. The fight for God-given identity. Letter A, avoid ungodly influences. And we looked at that, and number one was the fashion and marketing industries. Okay? That's not in your notes if you want to write it down. The second is the internet. All right? Number three, television. All right? None of these things necessarily are bad. We all partake and use these things, but you need to have some eye on what's going on and what agenda is being set. And then number four is the public education, okay? All the way from elementary, all the way to college, right? They're being inundated with this idea of being identified whatever they want to be at the time, all right? So we're talking about what's so specific about genders, and overall, really, they are not quiet about it. And so we as Christians have to be aware, and not that we want to pick a fight with anybody, but like I said, it's at our doorstep. And if they want to talk to us about it, we need to have some Bible answers why we believe what we believe, all right? We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be a jerk. We don't have to be necessarily offensive to them ourselves. Now, they might find what we believe offensive. That's nothing we can do with that. As long as we believe what the Bible says, we can be very, very kind, but very, very stern, all right? I wish there's some things that we can just avoid and we can remain neutral. There's things that back in the day, when people respected each other, that they would have that mindset of not trying to pick a fight. But in our day, it seems like everybody wants to fight. And even if you're just sitting and really wanting to stay away, they're going after you, all right? Going after you. So just be aware of that, and it might not change, all right? It might get worse. So your belief is going to be under scrutiny more than maybe our grandparents and such, all right? Not that they didn't. They had to stand for what they believe, all right? There's some things we enjoy today because some of our forefathers have stood for it, all right? We have the ability to homeschool in our country because a few people fought to have that ability to homeschool. There's people that fought for us to be able to do door-to-door evangelism. Somebody fought for those things, all right? And maybe in our day, we have to fight some things in our generation, and it's just a very controversial, hot-button topic that I like to stay away from those. I don't try to comment on things and leave things be that don't need to be meddled with. But this one, they're not leaving us alone, okay? They are in our face. So just be aware of that, and don't shy away from the truth. Don't compromise what God says. Be loving. Be prayerful. We need prayer more than ever in our day. All right? And so we looked at that. And then just to finish letter A there, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. We'll read this verse and we'll pray and we'll move on this morning. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. There's the word. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's an allusion. There's a truth there in that phrases that we just read that talks about this blurring the gender line and the gender identity that God has designed, okay? You find that in verse number 9. Let us pray. Lord, help us as we continue in this topic. Give us wisdom. Give us the Holy Ghost so that we can answer those that ask of the hope that is within us. Lord, we believe your word. We believe what it says. And Lord, help us when your viewpoint and your perspective is not accepted in our culture. And Lord, and they're not quiet about it. And Lord, we're going to be in the middle of conversation that might be uncomfortable for us. And they're not going to give us a choice. Lord, I pray, give us love. Give us power. Give us wisdom. Lord, to respond in a very, very, very kind, welcoming, but yet very, very stern and strong and not cowering and not being scared. Lord, I pray, help us. Give us this balance, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You see the word effeminate in the verse we read there. That word refers to a boy kept from homosexual relations with a man, or a boy who submits his body to a natural lewdness. That's the idea there, that we should not do that, okay? We should not do that. In the Philippines, I was there for about 10 years as a missionary in Cebu. At one point, we would see ladies, young ladies, affiliating themselves with older gentlemen. And normally, the older gentlemen are of other foreign nationals that come to the Philippines. And the Philippines is a very impoverished nation, not the poorest in the world, praise the Lord, but they fall for being poor. And so one of the ways that they feel they can get out of that is some of their young ladies then attempt to have relationships with older men of foreign countries that have money. And we see it. My kids see it all the time when we go to the grocery store. I don't like to talk about it, but they see it. They see it. How could a young, beautiful young lady be with this old guy that's an oxygen tank? You know, and we see, and I don't want to cast an overstatement. I don't want to do that today. That's not my point. The idea is you see older men, they're carrying their oxygen tank in their bags here, and they're pushing a stroller with a young, beautiful lady, and they had a child together, you know? And so you can take it or leave it. That's up to you. I don't want you to think evil of people. That's not my point. But I see that, and my kids see that when we were living in the Philippines. At the end of our term, latter part before we got here, we start to see young men with the same idea with older men from other nations. And I know exactly what was happening. Okay? So this is an epidemic across the globe. All right? This is not something that happens just here. It happens across the globe. Now, there's two nations I'm familiar with. There's other nations. And I don't ask you to search any more than that because you can find some debauchery on the internet, all right? But at any rate, the scripture is true, all right? So that idea, that word effeminate there, that's what it means. Young man being sold or being used to satisfy men's desire. That's the word effeminate you find in your verse, number 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Child sexual abuse existed in the first century as well. And it is rampant. It is rampant all the way till now. All right? And the Philippines is one of those nations that have a very, very high problem, strong problem with child trafficking. Very bad, very bad. They're on the move to try to eradicate that and help the situation. And we've seen the Philippines take action in arresting foreign nationals that it would never do before and put them in jail and put them where they belong, all right? Debauchery, just craziness. The English word is translated from the Greek word malakos and means soft, soft to the touch, okay? This is the kind of softness that ungodly influencers want to bring about in your son, and they want the opposite in your daughters. Just blurring the role that God has placed between a man and a woman. So be tirelessly vigilant to avoid ungodly influences. Don't set your children in the seat of the scornful, all right? Psalms 1, verse number 11. Their strongest influencer should not be ungodly men and ungodly women that oppose the viewpoints and perspective and the truths that you, your God that you serve, that opposes that truth. You should not have them to be the main, if any, influence from them to your children. All right? Be influenced for those that mock God you are trying to teach your children about. All right? So why would you do that? All right? It will defeat the purpose of church. Why we have junior church. Why we have primary church. Why we have Sunday school. It'll defeat all of that. Why we have BBS? Why are we having BBS when at the rest of the year you're going to put them in a tube and they watch ungodly men and women teach them ungodly things? Why? Why? What's the point? Why are we going to work so hard for a week and yet we let them be influenced by those evil things? Let's fight it. Let's fight it. All right? How do you fight it? Quietly at home. Turn the TV off. Monitor the internet consumption and the things they watch online. All right? That's not too hard. All of us could do that at home. Replace it with good things. Listen to some good godly music. All right? Listen to some good godly preaching. Watch some good dramatized stories of scripture. Watch out with VeggieTales. Because they change so much that some of the children, they only get VeggieTales. They think that's what really happened in the scriptures. All right? Be careful with those. It's an entertainment VeggieTales has to do, you know, and they have to turn, in Moses' time, they have to turn the water not into blood. That's a little gory for little kids. They have to turn it to juice. So I have kids that come up to me, Pastor, is that in the Bible where Moses turned the water into juice? No, he did not. He turned it into blood. So just be careful, some of the dramatized things that we can watch. In fact, Sight and Sound has David right now for free from a certain time to a certain time. You could watch it for free. As long as you have internet, you could watch David there in Sight and Sound in Lancaster, and you have to watch it with their music, all right, and all that. But they promote a good entertainment rather than having them watch sitcoms and cartoons that promote the blurring of the identity line of gender, all right? There's so much we could do. Go out fishing. Get them into a hobby, all right? Get them to doing something that replaces some of those things, all right? Replaces some of those things. There's so many things that we could do. Teach your children how to sew. Learn how to sew yourself. You said, I'm not doing that. Well, cook. There's so much cooking show now. They inundated anything, any show almost anywhere now, they inundated with this gender. All right? They have to have a cooking show, and they have to have transgender have to run it. They have cooking competition, and they have to highlight somebody has to be such and such, you know? And so they're really driving this in our culture. So pay attention. Even some innocent things, all right? Innocent things, you have to be really watchful and careful, all right? Letter B now. The bottom line is that there's a battle for your child's heart, and you need to be right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. Don't be on the sideline, all right? You need to be on guard, setting boundaries for what you will allow your child to see, hear, and wear. You need to know who your children's friends are, what they are being taught in school, and who is influencing them. You cannot be passive, chalking up questionable influences to times are sure changing, okay? You must be discerning, vigilant, active, fighting for and alongside your child. And give you a culture change here, some of you grandparents here, and we're starting to see some of these viewpoints even in our church, all right? Not in a bad way, but we have parents that are on guard. We have parents that are vigilant. We have parents that will not allow you just to influence them. And you feel that, even some of our generation. We keep our kids tight to us. You know why? Because of these things I'm talking about. And so you'll find some parents have a different viewpoint on nursery than you would have when you were raising us as your children. They have a different viewpoint on putting their kids on toddler classes. They have different viewpoints on putting their kids in junior churches. Why? Because of what I'm talking about. And it's sad that some of people like me that represents God, a clergyman, a pastor, has fallen into debauchery where I'm not personally, but in people in my position that deserves honor and respect has hurt some people. Has hurt some people because we are not invincible to sin and we have fallen and we have hurt some people. All right? And so we have to be careful as we move along in culture. We don't want to follow culture. But there's some truths that we can learn and adjust a little bit, okay? The things that you do back in the day when you're teaching us might not be so good today. Do you notice I don't say certain things on the pulpit? I say a lot of things I shouldn't say. But there's some things I don't ever talk about. And that's how to discipline my kid. I don't ever talk to you about that from the pulpit. You have no idea what I do. And that's going to remain that way unless you talk to me. I'm not trying to avoid the question, I have the answer. There's some things now that are reserved in private settings. And you want to counsel, I can counsel you, all right? But there's people that hear us worldwide that don't understand where I'm coming from and why am I doing those things. And even some people probably wonder what in the world we teach. If some lost person looked up online, and they're going to have a hard time to get some context now. Why? Because we are so far from Christianity. Right. In your day, they understand certain words. I was talking to Pastor Seth. He goes, there's some of the people that he was working with don't even understand certain words. Wow, that's like the Philippines. The Philippines didn't grow up Christian, so they don't know certain Christian words. Now you have to explain what word sanctification means. You have to explain what the word immersion. You have to explain the word baptism. I have no clue what you're talking about. All right? And so there's a drastic change, and our culture is walking away from God. And if we want to minister to people, guys, we're going to get them coming to our church. And when they come to our church, we have to be knowing biblical principles. We can't depend on cliche words that our grandparents used to say. Oh, we need to be right with God. They don't know what that means. What does right with God mean to them? All right? And so we have to know, really get to know what the principle in the Bible is so that we can talk in their vernacular, in the words that they understand in our day, not changing the truth, not changing the principle, but just making it that they understand it. Okay? So we got it. We got it going on. That's why the Bible is so powerful, because it's so relevant. It's relevant today. You just have to learn how to use it. It's a powerful tool. But we cannot sit and be lazy in the fights that our grandparents have fought. We might not have to fight those things. We have to fight other things. And guess what? They did a great job doing their best by God's grace to fight those controversial, topical, political situations in their day. Guess what? They gave us a good day. We're here. Now we have political, controversial things we have to fight for in our day. Why? Because we have children coming behind us that we have to leave them. And they have to come behind us. And we're going to have grandchildren if the Lord tarries long enough. Wow. Imagine me as a grandpa. Wow. Scary stuff. I'm older than when my parents got here. Right, Mom? How old were you guys when you came to the church? Yeah. You were younger than 39. That mind-boggling? That I'm older than my parents now when they first got here. So older generation. I know we're young. But we ain't that young. We were you 25 years ago. And guess what? As you raised us, guess what? We're doing the same thing with our children. All right? And we need you to help us. Band together with us. Our generation don't do it the way you do it. We don't let our kids just roam everywhere. I don't let my kids roam. Anybody here that raising children, let your kids roam in a neighborhood town? Look at Brother Micah's eyes like, no. We don't do that no more. And I've heard you guys talk about when you raise kids, they didn't come home until it was time to eat. The door was open in the morning, they left. They never came back home until time to eat. I will not do that today. Gawanda, let Abigail and Micah just roam. They might do okay, but I don't know about Philip. Philip might not come home. It's not the same day. It's not the same idea anymore, okay? In my Christianity when I was a little kid, we talked about homosexuality, we talked about sodomy is wrong, but we never talked in depth like this. Why? Because it's happening in our day. It's happening right here, okay? Letter B, follow biblical counsel, all right? The idea is what? Fighting for God-given identity, all right? We're fighting for manhood according to the scripture. We're fighting for womanhood according to the scripture. So we avoid evil influences. Letter A, now we follow biblical counsel. And as important as it is to alert and be vigilant to ungodly influences, it is just as important to allow your children to access godly influences who will point them toward biblical truth. The idea is they will be influenced. So take away the bad influence, but you have to replace that. You have to replace that. It can't be void. All right? You have to replace it, and you have to give them godly influences who will point them toward biblical truth. And that's why the beauty of the church, when you go and find yourself a Bible-believing local church, you're going to have problems because it's full of sinful folks. But at the same time, it's going to have Jesus living in the midst of it. And Jesus is working as a physician to heal the people that are in it. And you'll find people in the church that are not perfect by any means, but they are humble and they're wanting to do better. And you can watch a human being in church. Your children can observe a human being in church by prayer and the grace of God and the Holy Ghost working through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You can see somebody that used to be bad become good in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no other place you can see that except in the presence of our church. Not just ours. There's churches obviously all over the world. Local churches is designed by God for you to see how God can work with individuals. You don't have to be a drunkard for you to know that God loves drunkards and God can heal a drunkard. My kids are going to see drunkards used to be, and now they don't even touch a drop of alcohol. My kids don't have to be drug addicts, but my kids can see how God can transform somebody that was addicted and overwhelmed and overcome by the power of that demonic influence of drugs. And guess what? They can say, wow, God is awesome. God is awesome. God can, in the church. That's why we need each other in this church. You say, well, I don't matter. Yes, you do. And your walk with God matters. I need you, all of us, walking with God. Every one of us. No exception. No exception. Oh, we only need a few good people. No. No. We all need to be on our A game when it comes to Christianity. Everyone. I don't care how old you are. Because you are influencing and you are being an influence and a help to other people. You're not living your Christian life for yourself. You think so, but you're not. All right, God is using you as he's molding you, as he's preparing you, as he's helping you. He's using you without your even understanding totally. Then as he's changing you, he's got a person saying he's saying to them, hey, watch this. I'm working on brother so-and-so. Watch him. I'm working on brother so-and-so. And I'll never forget Brother Jim Olson. I'll never forget that story. Just never will. It'll never get out of my mind. I watch God transform a man. Where? Right here. Right here. Right in this church. Guess what? There's others. I watched my life get transformed. I'm your pastor now. Who'd have thought that? Remember, I was a 12-year-old kid that couldn't hardly speak to you? I still can't, but I do better. And you have learned to understand better. That's what it is. When you learn a foreign language, it's like your pastor's teaching you without your consent. I'm teaching you my language, and now you're understanding it. Good for you. Don't speak it like me, though. We're in trouble. In the Philippines, my wife started to talk like me in English. I said, babe, don't. We're in trouble. I love that my wife didn't drive in the Philippines. Why? Because she could never learn any bad habits of driving that they do. And so guess what we did? When we came home, I have no pressure. I did it one time. I came home from the Philippines, and I drove right away, and I did bad stuff. I was naturally honking the horn for no reason. I was stopping at intersection I had no business stopping at, and I'm waiting, and I'm creeping in, and I'm not giving distance. I'm just creeping in, and my wife goes, I think I need to drive. I said, I think so, or we'll be dead. We won't be back to the Philippines. And so she has no influence of bad driving. She comes to the state, guess what? She drives just like an American, no problem, right? And so we need each other because we influence one another and help one another, okay? We need each other in this fight. In God's design, older generations are to intentionally. In God's design, older generation, you just be honest who you are, all right? In God's design, older generations are to intentionally influence and disciple younger generations. Thus, godly women are instructed to teach younger women, and you earn the teaching place, not just because you're old and you know stuff, all right? Let me give you a secret on how to influence people. They need to know you love them. And they need to know you're going to listen to them too. This is not a classroom where you just sit down and they say, all right, I'm older, you're younger, shut up. Let me tell you, that's not the influencing way. Jesus sat with the disciples and listened to their complaints and asked. They were able to ask stupid questions. Can somebody ask you a stupid question without you retaliating and being upset? That's a good sign if you're welcoming to people or not. If they ask you stupid questions, how do you respond? In God's design, older generations are to intentionally influence and disciple younger generations. Thus, godly women are instructed to teach younger women. Titus 2, 4 and 5. That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. And at this point in church history, they were meeting every day. Every day. That means what? When you see somebody every day, you get to see them. And they were told to teach one another. All right? Be teachable and be respectable so that you can teach and that it'll be effective. Okay? Verse number 5. There's a line of balance over there, okay? To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Similarly, godly men are to provide a pattern of the type of strength embodied in manhood. We find that in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like man, be strong. This kind of gender-specific teaching, to be discreet, guard their testimony, live with purity, and rise up as leaders, should come from parents. But reinforcing it with godly role models in the church is invaluable. In a similar vein, every young person needs to hear from a godly pastor. They need to be a strong man of God with biblical convictions, preaching the Bible authoritatively, even though it's not popular. It's not popular to come across strong. It's not popular to be a strong man and to have strong convictions and believe something so passionate that you get a little loud about it. It's not popular in our day. But it's the godly way. You need to know what God says. Because as your pastor, I serve him. I am to say what he wants me to say. I am to do what he wants me to do. And I am to lead you as a steward of his heritage. You are his people. You're not mine. But I'm the human representative that God has put as a human authority to help you have a better resurrection, to help you, edify you in your faith, to make you better, to make you better as a Christian. Number three, the formulation of God-given identity. The formulation of God-given identity. There are many factors that can play a part in shaping a child's sense of identity, but I would like to point out four that should be present in every Christian home, all right? Four in every Christian home. Letter A, time with parents. Time with parents. I don't begrudge any parent that have young children to stay at home as often as they could possibly do it. There's some parenting that I think is not bad. It just needs to be balanced. As parents with little children, we don't have to run everywhere. We don't have to go to every amusement parks. We don't have to travel everywhere. And we don't have to go to bouncy houses. We don't have to go do crazy fun things with our kids and spend an enormous amount of money to parent them. That could be a part of what we do. That could be a part. I'm not against that. I go to pumpkin patches. If I could go to Darien Lake without having bad influences on an off day, weekday, when hardly anybody's there, if I was able to do that, I'll take my children. There's nothing wrong with a roller coaster. Totally neutral. Neutral enough to scare the fire out of you. If you're safe or you're not safe. The G-force is the same. Okay? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. Bumper cars, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But if your week is consumed about entertaining your children and you have to go to all these places to feel like to be a parent, something is wrong. That's not the scripture. The scripture teaches that there should be a private time as a family. And where do we have private time as a family? If not the home. The home is the private time as a family. Not that you be isolationist. Not that, as we moved here, there's so many people that says, hey, we're going to have a party here. Let's do this over here. There's nothing wrong with affiliating with them and doing things with people. There's a homeschool. I'm not saying against any of these things. But the majority of our parenting should be being done at home. Not at the amusement park. All right? You're getting the spiritual idea I'm trying to give to you, okay? You can't parent because you're not at home. No, that's not what I'm saying. All right? That's not what I'm saying either. What I'm just trying to say is that's a local place we can understand that we can have a time where we are under our jurisdiction as parents. We're not going to offend anybody. We're not going to step on anybody's toes. This is our home. And the only thing we can worry about at this place is what God wants us to do. And we try to do what God says. Okay? Don't be isolationist, all right? I'm just going to raise my kids. Nobody's going to help me with it. Some people are persuaded because of the evil I'm talking to you about today. We are so mistrusting with one another. All right? We have distrust sown in the churches. We have to have a level of trust. Okay? I have to put my kids in the places that I put them. I don't see my kids right now. Where are all my kids, by the way? I have to have a level of trust with people that take care of my kids. I have to, or I'm not going to make it. If I can't trust you here, I'm in trouble. All right? And so those that are caring for children, those that are doing things with children, those that have been ministry with children, and I applaud, I stand in ovation to anybody that do anything with our children. And some of them are in this room today. Let's work hard to get a relationship with the parents of those children. If you want to go anywhere and have be successful with your children's department, it doesn't go without you having a relationship with the parents of those children. I don't care if they're in that classroom. I don't care if they're in this classroom. I don't care if they're teenagers. And in fact, because I have a relationship with some of your children, Pastor said, I have a relationship with your boys, a genuine relationship with them. Guess what happens? I have influence on those kids. those boys are, Pastor, what do you want? We'll do it. Pastor, what, I'm not doing that for that reason. I try to go golfing with them because they like to go golfing. Well, Pastor takes the time. We talk about things. We're praying about their wives to be. I kid and tease around, but we get to serious talks, and we're talking about those things, talking about they're going to buy a house. I mean, the parents talk to them, but I have influence in that, and some of you too. And so how do I have a good relationship with those boys? Because I had a good relationship with their father and their mother. Do not in your mind think you're going to have a good relationship with your children if you avoid a relationship with the parents. Now, some parents you're not going to have a relationship with. It's just not, you're not their cup of tea. But be cordial, be respectful, all right? Because the way you're going to influence those kids is you partner up with the human authority God put in their life, their parents. That's why grandparents, when you go against the parents, even though you're children, you shoot yourself in the foot. So don't do that. All right, help your children that are parents by you having a relationship with them so that they can then allow you and give you opportunity to have a relationship with their kids, your grandbabies. All right? More than any other aspect of influence in their lives, I'm talking about your children, from infants to teenagers to young adults, need your time. Whether it's throwing a ball in the backyard or going to the museum or having an ice cream night at home, they need you to spend time with them. There is no shortcut with that. There is no shortcut. I'll give them quality time. Try it. It's up to you. It's up to you. And even if we do all these things, there's no guarantee that our children will turn out right. So why not do it all? Because it's giving you the best possible outcome that is good. All right? I'm not cheapening that out. I'm just going to do it the best. But it's up to you. You can do your parenting in your mind. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. You're the first and most influential role model your children have of gender identity and distinction. You are. Since the world mocks and attacks the stereotypes of gender distinction, let your child spend enough time with you that they see a gender distinction that is deeper than washing dishes or fixing the car. That they see you comfortable in what it means to be a godly man or a godly woman. On purpose, I take time with my boys without the girls. On purpose, I take time with my girls without the boys. On purpose. So is my wife. She takes time with the girls on purpose. They did pedicure yesterday. I don't need to be a part of that. I took my boys fishing. Now, Abigail likes fishing too. So guess what? Those are some things that are neutral that we could do. But there's things that are not neutral. Okay? And so, you know what I mean by this. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Christian parents need to be model the biblical design for the family to their children. Young people need to see their dad treat his wife with deference, love, care, and respect. They need to see their mom love her husband. They need to see a healthy marriage relationship and observe that love is not all about a partner that brings sensual satisfaction, but about fulfillment and a commitment to a spouse and obedient to God. If you're a single parent, you can still give your child this time and these gifts through having a godly perspective on relationships and marriage. Live with personal purity and never tear down the biblical family model to your children. Encourage them as they get older that you want to see them enjoy a lifetime of happiness, married to a godly spouse, and establish a Christian home. It is worthwhile to point out that they're in today's culture that pushes sex education and sensual innuendos onto children. You may need to have the talk with them earlier than you think. This is where culture and age differs. When you were older grandparents, you didn't let us know. You don't need to because there was nothing for us to be distracted about. But now, some of us parents might be thinking about improperly in their age. And the way we say it, have to educate them about sex. Don't be afraid of that. It's a God-given gift to marriage. In biblical context, there's a whole book on it. In biblical context, it is a wonderful thing. Don't be afraid. If they come up and talk to you, you better have an answer. I'm just being real with you guys as we live today. You want them to have a wholesome, pure, godly view of the difference between men and women's bodies and to know that God's design is good and that intimacy is sacred to the marriage covenant. Ask the Lord for wisdom in when to bring up these topics with your children, but don't put them off too long. The last place you want your child to go for these place and information is your good old Google. And address them in a positive, pure way that reinforces the sacredness of sexuality and gender deference. There's so much. I'm going to give you the points and I'm done. I can't. Too late. Letter B. Distinction in dress. I don't have time. Maybe I'll do this another day. Letter C. Balance activities. Letter D. You're moving it, Mom, right? You're moving really fast. Good, Mom. Letter D, godly friends and associations. All right? I might borrow this message one day and preach it on a service. All right? So we can get it. It's just some good stuff. I just don't have the time. Let's pray. Lord, bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Help us to raise our children. Help us to be good and knowing your word on this idea of gender identity. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.